I'm David Parnell, and I was a founder with Paul Mead of Gunanua Theatre. We started the company in 98. I suppose where it came from initially was I was working as an actor in Dublin and had an interest in writing and directing plays. And I approached Paul Mead to be in a play which I wrote in 1996 called Licking the Marmalade Spoon, which we did in Project Arts Centre. So Paul came on board for that and we worked together on that. And then we thought about we'd like to work together again. So we started Gunanua in 98.
My name is Paul Mead. I'm the artistic director and co-founder of Gunanua Theatre Company. I'm from Limerick originally. I moved to Dublin, was involved at UCD Dramsoc. And through that, I decided I wanted to get involved in theatre and I trained as an actor in the Samuel Beckett Centre. I met David actually through his work at the National Youth Theatre. They had toured down to Limerick. And then when we were in the Samuel Beckett Centre, David was a year ahead of me. So we were friendly through that. And we worked on an Enda Walsh play together that David directed. It was called Honesty, and a great cast, including Eugene O'Brien from Pure Mule and Eden. In 1998, David Parnell came to me, brought me for a cup of coffee and asked me to help him produce a show. That was the beginning of Gunanua. And the show was called Four Stories. It was directed by David. I think he hired another producer called Aideen Glynn, and she ended up being a co-founder of the company as well.
Hi, I'm Elaine Murphy. I'm a playwright. I started off as an actress. I was in a couple of things for RTE, Pure Mule and The Clinic. I did a couple of feature films, Becoming Jane with Anne Hathaway. I never really worked in theatre, and I thought that I would like to write something. And my first play, Little Gem, was produced by Gunanua. When I had been to see all Gunanua's work, I knew they were a devising company and a lot of their work was like that. The latest play I'd gone to see was Unravelling the Ribbon, which was written by Mary Kelly. And I didn't think they took other people's work, and it was only that they had done Mary's play that I went, oh great, I'll be able to send them in mine now and hopefully they'll read it for me, you know. And they did, and I had a lovely meeting with Paul and David quite soon after I sent it into them, and the rest is kind of history. We had a great run.
There was a rage for companies with Irish names at the time, and I think Gunanua is a phrase that people hear when they're kids in school, you know, to Gunanua, Eguna. There's just that idea as well of a new dress, something new that you try on every time, that you try to do something fresh and innovative with every show. So I think that was the idea. But we did, I mean, especially when we started touring internationally, it was very, very difficult. They were just going, Goonie, what? You know, David Pearce always laughs about it, calls us Goonie Nooey.
I joined Dublin Youth Theatre when I was about 16 or 17. And I went to workshops there for 2 years. And one of the most kind of inspiring workshops I did was playwriting with Jerry Stembridge. And that was kind of where I first learned this idea, kind of the technique piloted, I suppose, by people like Mike Lee of devising work with actors. And Jerry had already been working in RTE using these techniques on shows like Nothing to It. And then he went on, obviously, to make films like Guilt Trip about Adam and TV's shows like Bad Day at Black Rock and The Truth About Claire. So he was a real mentor. I was really excited by the idea that you could write from experience in a way, and that writing for the theatre or writing for drama was not necessarily a literary endeavour, which I'd always imagined it was up to that point, but was actually a kind of an active endeavour, which involved taking ideas from the mouths of actors. And it was a way of making dialogue that was really crackling with life and was inherently dramatic because it was how the actors spoke. It was spoken in their voices. Soon after, when I started acting professionally, I worked in the Abbey on shows like Observe the Sons of Ulster Marching Toward the Somme, Philadelphia Here I Come, Kevin's Bed and Dancing at Lunasa. I worked with Joe Dowling quite a few times as an actor on Da, on A Midsummer Night's Dream and on Borstal Boy at the Gaiety. So I was enjoying a relatively successful career as an actor, but the idea of writing was still there and I still wanted to develop those ideas. So the idea for a full-length play was suggested to me by Alison McKenna, who had been a colleague in Trinity College. So I began to write Licking the Marmalade Spoon, which became my first full-length play.
I'm Jennifer O'Dea. I got to know the guys, David and Paul, very early on socially. We were hanging out and drinking with the same group of people. And at the time, I was doing a fair bit of work in the Abbey and the Gate. And I'd been doing some work with Second Age. There's a lot of costume dramas, and I really enjoyed it and I loved it. And then I started working with the guys, and we worked on much more contemporary pieces, and we were devising parts that were, you know, people who spoke like me and had the same issues as I had. And that was kind of a revelation to me, really, because we hadn't done that much of that in Trinity. So it was really a kind of a whole new dawn for me. It was really exciting.
We wanted to make theatre that connected to our own experience. We would have grown up watching a lot of comedy on television, things like Seinfeld, things like Larry Sanders, The Office. I suppose we were interested in trying to create a kind of a, before the phrase became popular in Hollywood, this idea of bromance, this idea of how men interact and how men behave with each other. The other thing we were trying to write, unapologetically trying to write comedies. So I suppose the idea was to write plays that were funny but also left people with something to think about.
I started working in a women's health centre. I went in for a day to cover for someone I was acting at the time, and 10 years later I was still there covering for people who were sick or on annual leave or whatever. I only gave up about 2 years ago, and I have to say I really miss meeting all those people. Sometimes people would be in crisis at a really, you know, it might be an unplanned pregnancy or, and a lot of the time people were just coming in for a general health checkup, and it was just, you know, you'd be just shooting the breeze with them and kind of chatting about their day and that sort of thing. So you got to meet people from all walks of life. It was always a nice atmosphere. It was always a welcoming atmosphere. Yeah, I just really enjoyed it.
One of the first plays that David and I wrote together as a team was Scenes from a Water Cooler. And we had three great actors in the devising process: David Ganley, Fergal McElhern, and David Pierce. The whole idea of the play, it was actually, there must have been something in the zeitgeist, because The Office was released just after we devised it, and we devised this play set in an office, and it was about three guys in an office, and there's two guys who are very comfortable with each other. They're messing, having fun, doing very little work, and a new, young, ambitious man enters the office and sort of threatens their position. It turns out at the end of the play that the two guys who've been very comfortable and cozy with each other, actually one of them has been having an affair with the other guy's wife, and he's been hiding it all the time. And there were some outrageous improvisations, and David Ganley wasn't able to do the show. And I remember thinking, well, how are we going to replace David? And then I met Jerry McCann coming across the street, and I had been in Alone at Stands by John Breen with Jerry, and I thought, Jerry is perfect. He's Michael. And then Jerry went on to play this character of Michael in Trousers as well. It was sort of a similar character to what he played in Scenes from Watercooler. And then he devised Faith as well with us. And the rehearsals for Scenes from Watercooler were just hilarious. DP and Jerry McCann used to come in late every day and make all sorts of excuses as to why they couldn't work. And they both had these huge, big spare ribs and all sorts of pies and things from Dunn Stores, which was across the way. And they used to eat for about 3 hours, and then we would do some work. And 9/11 happened while we were doing Scenes from Watercooler, and myself and David were desperately trying to, you know, make this show happen. But of course, when 9/11 happened, everyone left just to see, you know, to look at a television or to see what was going on the television. When we got back to the rehearsal room, there was a note written by Jerry McCann on the door saying, gone to see the end of the world, back in 5 minutes.
Little Gem is a play about three generations of women, a grandmother, mother and daughter. And basically it was from my time working in a women's health centre, and I met so many women. And when you hear all these people from all different backgrounds and realise that actually we're all very similar, no matter what, you know. So I started writing this story about the three generations of women and kind of what everybody goes through at some stage in their life. That's how Little Gem started off. It was like the perspective from each kind of life stage, I suppose.
Trousers was about two old friends, played by, very sadly, the late Tom Murphy and Jerry McCann, both passed away since. And they were both wonderful actors. And we had devised it in Foley Street. It was such good fun devising that play. We devised it actually with David Pierce and Jerry McCann. And a lot of it was playing football in the room. And then every now and again, we'd do an improvisation. And of course, the two guys were just so amazing. Like, every improvisation they did was something that you'd like to see on television or in a film, and everything they did was just hilarious. And then Tom came in. It was a really special story about two friends. One guy's split up with his girlfriend, and he comes to live with the other guy. So it's sort of like an odd couple thing. And the other guy is sort of a bit sad, and he's trying to get his life together, and he's obsessed with records. And the two guys, through living together, they sort of heal their past, I suppose, or heal their friendship.
The very first thing I ever did devising wise was called Sway, that David Parnell had written. And he'd invited four of us, two men and two women, Anthony Brophy, David Ganley, Olivia Caffrey and myself. And we went to a studio, the old wet paint studio somewhere around Herbert Street, I think. And he'd asked me to be part of the devising. I was delighted. And I went along and he told all the actors what their parts would be. And you'll be playing this and you'll be playing that. And he said, now, I've only written Act One. And then he said to me, you come in Act Two. So I thought, OK, that was my first entree into the world of devising. So I thought, right, I better get to work here and create something.
Sway was about a man who's having an affair. And it was about a guy who was on the way up. He was building a house, but he's having an affair. And his brother comes back from Africa. It was kind of a wild idea that the brother was a mercenary and offered to get rid of the wife. It was David's idea for a really interesting play, which you never know, he may come back to.
So our original cast for Little Jem was Anita Reeves, who played the grandmother, Hilda Fay, who played her daughter Lorraine, and Aoife Duffin played the youngest character, Amber. Anita was one of the people who were on board first, I think. She was the one we wanted for the granny. We had a couple of auditions then for the other two parts. And I remember the last audition of the day for the part of Lorraine was Hilda Fay. And Hilda came in and she was just like a whirlwind, you know. She was just, the energy of her like really woke us up. And I remember Paul just looking around at me and going, yep, that's who we're looking for. So we were thrilled to get her on board. And Hilda and I actually grew up in the same area. So she knew the people I was talking about. She knew everything about them. She was actually in the same year of school as my sister. So I would have seen Hilda in school plays and that sort of thing. And she was already a superstar in our town, you know, even before she hit Fair City. So when I went home and told everyone that we had Hilda Fay in our play, it was very exciting. Aoife, for someone so young, she had such an understanding of the character and she was very mature for her age then. I think she was only 21 or 22 when she was playing that part. And I just remember her, she had really thought about it. I remember her first day in rehearsal, she'd really looked into it and she was asking me questions and I was like, well, I don't know, whatever you think, you know. So, I mean, if I was looking at a script, I would have done all that myself, but you don't think people are going to do the same for yours.
We got a call from Mary Kelly, who was an actress we knew and a writer, and she just rang myself and Paul one day to pick our brains. And so we met her for coffee and she said, I've written this play on the theme of breast cancer with Maureen White. And we're very pleased with the play. But what we did was we sent it out to various people to try and get sponsorship. And the Irish Cancer Society have very generously offered us a serious amount of money, but we've no idea how to produce a play. So how do you produce a play? So Paul and I went away, we offered her some advice, and then we went away and said, well, actually, we could produce that play because we had done whatever show we were going to do for that year. We had the office, we had the capacity. So we went back and talked to Maureen and Mary and said, well, look, if you like, we'll produce the play for you so you can just get on with making the art. So they agreed and we took on then the responsibility for minding the show. Maureen and Mary worked away in rehearsals. And it was a great success. And it was a great success, I think, for two reasons. I mean, mainly it was a great success because it was a gorgeous piece of work. But also it was a great success because we were able then to let them get on with making the work in the rehearsal room while we worried about the kind of business side of things. And then we would come into rehearsals and kind of offer notes and help. And I suppose that was what gave us the confidence then when Little Jem came across our desk, that we felt confident about producing another writer's work. And we also felt that the name Gunanua was starting to gain traction with audiences. And it was unusual that Unraveling the Ribbon kind of happened by accident. But it was interesting that Unraveling the Ribbon and then Little Jem happened kind of almost back to back. And there were two plays by women about women, which was a real departure for Gunanua. But it gave the company a new lease of life.
Unraveling the Ribbon was directed by Maureen White and it starred Eleanor Methven, Mary Kelly herself and Georgina Miller. The set and costumes were by Liz Cullity and the lighting was by Sinead McKenna. So it was a really amazing team that created this beautiful show. It was very special.
As well as the Irish Cancer Society, who generously donated money to that production, we also got some funding from Avon's Pink Ribbon campaign. And so we had a special performance one night for Avon's Pink Ribbon campaign in Dublin. And not long before that show, Tom Murphy had passed away from cancer. So it was a really special night for us as a company. Obviously, the main focus of Unraveling the Ribbon was about breast cancer, but it just brought home to all of us just the devastating impact that the disease generally has. Paul and I quietly, at the back of the audience, kind of gave that show up for Tom.
We were kind of spoiled when we went around Ireland because they really got the humour in it, you know. They found things funny that we didn't even think were going to be funny. We thought starting out that the play was kind of serious, but when once it hit the road and people were cracking up, we were like, okay, well, maybe it's a comedy. We'll go with that. So that was kind of fun. And then I remember the first time we went to Edinburgh, the first show was really weird because they were so quiet. And I was like, oh God, they hate it, you know. And we actually found out they were listening. They were trying to figure out the accent. They were like, what are they saying? And the laugh would kind of come 2 minutes later when they got into the accent and they kind of got the joke a little bit afterwards. I remember one night my brother coming home from Talla had been on in the Civic, and he got into the Lewis, and there was all these women in the Lewis who didn't know each other. They all started talking about the play, and my brother was just sitting there going, yeah, my sister wrote that. And they were like, oh jeez, and did you know this bit? Well, I went through that, and wait until, and tell her this bit. And so yeah, it was just great that it had such a connection with people and that strangers were on the Lewis talking about it, you know.
We set up Goonanua in 98, and I suppose my feeling then was that this is really where my creative heart was in writing and directing for the theatre. But interestingly, what started to happen was as you gain success as a company, there's an expectation that comes with that, that you have to be a kind of responsible adult and you have to manage things properly and you have to get an office and you have to pay people and you have to do your tax returns and all these kind of things. So what eventually happened was that for economic reasons, because we couldn't afford to hire a company manager, I became kind of half-time artistic director and half-time company manager. And actually, by accident, I learned a lot of skills around managing the business. And then life took over as it does. I met my now wife. We started a family. I got a mortgage. And I suppose like a lot of people at that stage in life, in my mid-30s, I began to think about the future and thinking about my children's future. And then I saw a job advertised. The Arts Council were looking for a head of theatre. And like a lot of people who work in theatre, I suppose I had opinions about how I thought the Arts Council might be able to do its work better. And I suppose rather than being one of those people who moans in the pub, I thought, well, I'll go and I'll interview for the job and I'll suggest ways I think we might be able to develop the way we support theatre. So I went and I interviewed and they gave me the job. So one of the toughest conversations I had was with Paul. I went back to Paul and I said, look, I've been offered this job in the Arts Council. I think it's an exciting challenge and I think it's a good time for me personally maybe to move on, learn some new skills and try and make a difference in a different kind of way. And I have to say, Paul was fantastic. It was a very short conversation because Paul said, look, if that's what you want to do, you've got a wife and kids now. If you feel that's the right thing for you, I won't stand in your way. There's no doubt it was a wrench because we still are, but at the time we'd become very, very close. In fact, we used to joke that we saw each other more than we saw our partners. And we'd spent a lot of time creating and honing and developing the brand that was Goonanua. We were very, very proud of what we'd achieved. And we were very proud of making the thing from virtually nothing. And the last thing I did as joint artistic director was, with Paul, commissioned Little Gem. And I'm very proud that that was my last act as joint artistic director because it went on to have such a fantastic life. It launched the company again in a new direction. It's been lovely ever since to watch the company grow and develop and still be here all these years later.
We were invited to Carol Tamber's apartment the night we landed in New York. Carol Tamber is the woman who awarded us the Best of Edinburgh Festival Award. So we all turned up, all a bit jet lagged, all a bit tired, and she had put on a lovely spread for us in her apartment on Fifth Avenue. And Hilda Fay and I just remember we were sipping champagne in this apartment on Fifth Avenue and we were like, oh, it's a long way from our town we are. But, you know, it was like, that's how far we'd come with that play. You know, starting in Talla, 40 people in New York. Paul was there, I was there, Hilda was there. It was kind of an exciting time as well because Paul had just gotten engaged. Hilda was pregnant. I didn't know, but I was about to get engaged. So it was just a really magical time and one of those few times where everything comes together.
I suppose one thing we've been very lucky with, we've been supported hugely through the co-producers that we've worked with over the years, particularly the Civic Theatre in Talla and Bree Jukes. They've co-produced 5 or 6 of our shows, including Little Gem and our next show, Faith, but also Lane Productions, Andrews Lane Theatre, Origin Theatre Company in New York. We've had a great relationship with them. We did Trousers in New York with them. We devised Meltdown in New York with them. And Faith was developed with a workshop through them. We've also done workshops with Fishambo Theatre Company. Gavin Costix helps us a lot with our work. So really, those co-producers, and particularly the Civic Theatre in Talla, have really just brought our work on. Donald Shields produced Scenes from Watercooler, who produced Taste. So we wouldn't have been able to do it without that support and the community, I suppose, of theatre in Dublin.
After the success of Little Gem, I went on to write my second play, and I was lucky enough to be commissioned by the Abbey Theatre. I probably left it too long to write my second play. I probably should have got another one out there pretty quickly. But I wanted to take my time. Because Little Gem was my first play, I wasn't sure what direction I wanted to go next. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next, actually. So I eventually wrote Shush, which went on in the Abbey in June. And I had an amazing cast: Niamh Daly, Deirdre Donnelly, Eva Bartley, Barbara Brennan, Ruth Hegarty. And it was directed by Fishambles' Jim Cullerton. It was the most wonderful experience, just working with all these people, you know, all really well-established actors and directors. And having the Abbey behind us as well was just brilliant, you know. We went on to tour then to Dunleary. We went to the pavilions and we went back to the Civic, which was brilliant for me, actually, just to get back to the Civic, because even though I'm a Northsider, they kind of adopted me a little bit, which was nice. So we had a lot of people out in Tallaght who were really looking forward to seeing the next play. So when we went out there, we got a great reception and it was just great to be back.
Faith, which we're co-producing with the Civic Theatre in Tallaght, is a play about a guy who, I suppose, is a victim of the recession in a way. He's been made redundant, and he's at home minding the kids, and he's starting to suffer from depression. He's under pressure, he's under stress, and he meets this guy. He's kind of a charismatic guy. He meets him at the local creche where he's dropping off his kids, and this guy Chris gives Michael a bit of hope and a job, but is it enough? And there's a lot of fun on the way. It plays on a lot of the stuff that Gunanu has played on, I suppose, for years, you know, men having the laugh together, but also trying to help each other through difficult times.
So my current role in the Arts Council, I work as head of theatre, and my role involves essentially offering the council advice on theatre policy. And that involves everything from analysing, assessing and recommending on applications, but also seeing work, thinking about the work, thinking about how the work is made, thinking about how the work interacts with audiences, disseminating the work, touring. Really, the job is about trying to help the theatre community make the work in the best way it can, and help the Arts Council to think about that strategically, help it to plan over the long term. The difficulty, of course, is being, as we all know now, that the economic situation has been very bad for the last 5 years. And the net result of that has been a close to 35% cut in the funding for theatre. So in that context, it's been very difficult to move things along, to think about things in a new way, because a lot of it has been about crisis management and putting out fires. But the hope is that this will turn around, and the hope is that we've laid the groundwork now, and that theatre companies and theatre makers and playwrights and actors can still make the work, and can still, that we can still provide or help to provide excellent work for audiences.
One thing I think about Gunanua is that I know David and Paul talk a lot about the kind of bromance and the buddy-buddy thing, but I actually think they produce really strong roles for women, and they allow women to devise really strong roles for themselves. They encourage that. And like, I know that they have done shows with just men. Of course, Little Gem and Unravelling the Ribbon was just women, but I always remember Dave insisting in the early days of the devising on two men and two women. That was it. He was really into equality, and Paul is very into that as well. And, you know, it's pretty chilly out there in the old environment as a female actor, and really admire that, and I'm very grateful for that.